And it continues without any of the namesakes for today. Welcome to Pinner and Steinberg, everyone. Peter Klein with you, along with Logan Gordon and Peter Labardius back in the chair on this Friday. Lubo, how are you today? How was your week?
It's been excellent. I was already on the air with Will for our Friday regular installment. So feel like I just got warmed up. And yeah, I've had a real good week. I had no idea that reading these candy profiles would have turned into what they've turned into, apparently.
Yeah, it's funny what sticks, hey?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's crazy. And I've thought about it this week, and people have been calling me and texting me, and they're getting a great kick out of it, which is a good thing in this day and age where I don't think we should ever turn an eye against anything that makes us smile or laugh. So I'm okay with that. But there are times you think, you know, you break down this stuff and you bring some pretty good analysis, or you've done all these games. But over the years, it's, you know, some of the rants, and now it's candy profiles. Those are the things that seem to stick.
Yeah, it is. It's very interesting sometimes, that's for sure. And Logo
Ike
is
and Mike.
Logo. Logo, how's it going today, sir?
Doing not too bad. I had a couple of days off, and it's another nice day in Calgary, so I can't complain. Good to be back on with Lou for a Friday, and I'm excited.
Yeah, we got a show to be excited about today for sure. Coming up in about half an hour, Jeff Chenoweth from the Calgary Hitmen will be joining us. Ian Wilson from AB Dugout Stories with, I'm sure, I mean, there's a lot of news all over the planet right now, especially when it comes to sports. But one bit of news that caught our attention was the WCBL season has been canceled. So he's going to talk about the impact of that. And there's a lot going on with non-Major League Baseball that we will get into with him coming up at about 3:30. And a lot more to get to. Of course, we want your texts, 960-960. But Lou, when we last spoke, we were just kind of talking about what a potential NHL return might possibly look like. We got a few more answers this week. I know you and Will dove into it a bit this morning, but just for those who maybe didn't hear that, for our afternoon audience, what do you make now that the plan has officially been unveiled in a Zoom call to the world?
Well, it gives you something to think about. It gives you something to be excited about, which I think we all need and is really, really important. I've said on our radio station with you guys last week that the one thing about sports in the COVID era, I think that it's really important to provide a couple of things, and that's some normalcy and some hope. I think that has become even more evident with some of the horrible things going on south of the border, and we don't need to go there, but anything that provides, you know, an escape and remembering what sports is all about. So like everybody else, I was really excited on Tuesday when it sounded like not only were we hearing and reading about a plan, and what we've read about, let's be honest, is pretty much exactly a lot of the things that were unveiled, but every plan requires a starting place. And now we have one, and, you know, we can go a lot of different ways during this segment in terms of what we're all looking forward to. I know you guys, maybe not Logan as much, but I know Peter, you and Pat have obviously had a few days to kick that around. The one thing I would say that I said this morning, and then even we had a virtual hot stove with a bunch of our listeners and contest winners last night. If we do get started again, and probably what turns out, you know, unless, and we never know, it's a changing world health-wise, it seems every day, but let's just say for the sake of this conversation, they start up late July or early August. I'm not sure I've ever been more fascinated by just the thought of what it's going to take to get there, the type of hockey we might see, and how it's all going to unfold. Like, I am fascinated would be my favorite adjective, because it is going to demand a lot of different things in order to be successful.
Yeah, and one of the things that I'm looking to now, as we kind of transition away from ifs and stuff like that, and obviously there are still a number of ifs when you're talking about a global pandemic, but when this thing gets up and running, which type of teams are favored by a long layoff? Is it big teams? Is it fast teams? Is it young teams? Is it old teams? Logo, I'm really fascinated to see if there's an underlying advantage to this whole thing for a different style of play.
Yeah, it is, because there is so much interesting about, you know, what's going to happen when it does come back and who's got an advantage, or is there an advantage to anything? I mean, you know, we talk about all these teams coming back, and, you know, there's still so many unknowns as to, you know, yeah, we know those top four seeds and where they're going to be, but we don't know that everyone's coming back. What if there's a team that we think is a major contender and one of their superstars says, I'm not comfortable coming back and playing in this sort of condition, or I don't want to be away from my family for that period of time. You know, how in shape is everybody? Which team put in the work when they were off here, and how does that affect everything? How quickly can you get back to playing your game? I would tend to think that teams with, you know, continuity and, you know, probably a solid roster that's been together for a long time would have some sort of advantage coming back because they know each other, but who knows? And that's one of the most intriguing parts about this, is there are so many unknowns, and we're going to discover them all together when this thing gets going, hopefully, you know, late July, early August.
Guys, Lou, go for it.
Two words for me, and we can break this down, and you can think about it anyway, and who's got an advantage and who doesn't, and we can spin it. And the great thing is, if you do sports talk radio as you guys do on a daily basis, you know, we can use all the different angles, and there are a million of them. For me, two words: work and will. As in will to win. I think those will be incredible separators. I think because these situations are so different, who is willing to put in the work? Who are your leaders? And how much do you want to win? Which isn't different in any sports situation. I still believe now more than ever, who absolutely hates to lose are generally the people in the end who put in the work and end up winning.
Well, and to that point, Peter, there's a ton of built-in excuses for people who aren't looking to win or who aren't committed to going and doing it. This is no time like, you know, right now to say, you know, well, I didn't have, you know, the proper training equipment, or I wasn't, you know, getting ice time regularly, or something was different. So I think you're right that, you know, if you want it, you'll find a way, and you're going to, you know, really see those players shine, because there are so many built-in excuses and different things this year than any year, that if, you know, you were looking for a way out, you weren't as committed, I think it'll show.
Absolutely, yeah. And I've, for the last couple of weeks, I've been saying that, understanding that this was, in my opinion, especially this time of year, a very important year for the Flames when it comes to figuring out if this team learned the lessons that they should have from the five games against the Colorado Avalanche from a year ago, and if they were able to grow from that and learn from that and take that and be able to take this team to the next level. And with everything going on, it was okay, well, you kind of have to give this group a pass on this season. Obviously, nothing about this season for the Flames was a normal one, but coming down the stretch, you can't really assess it. And the more I've thought about it, the more I've kind of like, well, this is still going to be, like Lou, like you said, that this is still going to be a test of a lot of the different things that some people may have had some frustrations about. I don't think there being 19,000 people in the crowd was necessarily a problem. It was, can you elevate your game to that level that it takes to be successful this time of year? And while it's going to be a little different, I still think we can learn some of those lessons when this thing gets back up and running again.
I think in some respects, guys, this might be as great a time to assess as any other. You're going to be fresh. You should be hungry. Again, it depends on the work. It depends on the lessons that you've learned and the experiences that you've gained. So you think about Mark Giordano, who has said all the right things. There's no question. You could hear it in his voice the other day on the Zoom call. He's excited. Well, he's going to be 37 years old October the 3rd. Like, these opportunities, they don't come around all the time. Now, the hockey team itself should feel good about the first thing. And the first thing for me is, for the first time, they're going to go back and play playoff-style games. I guess they're not technically playoff games yet because they're in the play-in round. But anyway, you slice or dice it, they would have been. For the first time in a long time in consecutive years, they find themselves in this kind of position. Okay, so check that box. This year was a year for this hockey team that you'd never want to see it in a lot of ways again, but I think it was a great year, guys, of growth. They've had to go through a lot, and now this is just another chapter. And when they come back, it's really about, to me, the core group of this team deciding what they want to do with it. That's what it's going to boil down to for this group. Can you take another step? Are you better? Did last spring help you be better, be hungrier, be more desperate, be more dialed in, fight through more obstacles? You can make all the excuses that you want in the world. But to me, and you guys might be the first two guys, maybe, who would put an asterisk beside it, I'm not going to be one of those guys. Because in many ways, because it is so different and it's going to ask a lot more from people, I think we may find out some equally as important answers, if not more important, because of the situation.
Well, and that's something that we discussed Tuesday, Kleiner, with Pat, when we went on through this. You, me, and him had a pretty long discussion about just that. I don't, you know, Lou, we said asterisk because it's different, but we discussed the fact that different isn't always a bad thing, and I think asterisk comes with a noted negative connotation to it no matter what. You know, just because there's an asterisk on it doesn't always mean it's a difficult thing. And I would go back to something I said Tuesday, and when I look at it and I sit there and I say, you know, we were talking about positioning and all this stuff in the Pacific Division and maybe how that leads to a you know, an easier path for somebody in that division to go through the Stanley Cup playoffs. Well, that's completely changed now. The Flames weren't looking at a first-round matchup with Winnipeg and then, you know, potentially seeing St. Louis in what would be the first round of the playoffs. You can't sit there and tell me that that's any easier, you know, to beat Winnipeg in a five-game series just to get to the show and then, you know, try to go on your run from there is an incredibly difficult task to ask. I put a lot of stock in Winnipeg, and I think it's going to be a very tough five-game series to do that. So I think you're absolutely right in the fact that, you know, it might even be harder than some years to get a Stanley Cup there, and there shouldn't be an asterisk beside it at all.
No, I don't think so, because I do think it is going to be harder, and it is going to require more. One of the parallels I've thought about, guys, is on a much wider and larger scale. Isn't this somewhat a little bit like teams getting ready for a World Cup? You know, you come back in the summer after time off, you get a couple weeks, you play a couple of exhibition games, and now you have to, by and large, be up to speed right away. Now, this is going to be a much longer tournament that's going to last for a long time, but the point being is some of the preparation will be very much the same. And the other part of it is, okay, in a World Cup, maybe you have the three-game round robin, but you better start playing good hockey right away or you're done. And this, to me, is a very similar situation. The teams who understand what it's going to take, how you come together, and your will to win is going to determine a lot. Not to mention that it's, you know, Logan, you made some great points about we don't know who's, there might be key guys from different teams who aren't even okay to go and play. We don't know.
Right. We don't know that. And there's a situation that's come up throughout just kind of working through this whole process. Max Domi and Capo Caco each have type 1 diabetes, which doesn't make it easier to get COVID-19, but it makes it a lot worse if you do. And again, it's a situation where the NHL is hoping that no one gets it, but do you kind of weigh the risk and not allow some players to come if there is another condition on top of it? There's going to be a lot that you have to work through with this whole thing. But the interesting part for me from a hockey perspective is we've never had a Stanley Cup playoff before where everyone is kind of on equal footing health and rest-wise, aside from what I just said. There isn't going to be, well, this team was a bit too banged up and this team was a little. Most of these teams, I would suggest 95% of them, probably going to be at about 100% capacity. And that, to me, is what makes this kind of what takes that asterisk away a little bit, in that it's not going to be like you didn't have the grind of going right from the regular season to the playoffs. But I think having that break and having everyone be healthy actually makes it a bit of a tougher gauntlet to run through.
Guys, I truly believe that it's literally the opposite of what we're used to. Because of, Peter, what you talked about, you generally go through the preseason, you're 82, that takes an incredible toll, and then we're also fired up, right, about the first, and especially the first and second rounds, because they lay it all on the line, and let's be honest, a lot of years, by round three and then the Stanley Cup final, it really becomes a survival of the fittest. What really excites me this time around is, you know, maybe round one or the play-in round might not be up to the same kind of level as you would see normally to begin a playoff. I think we can all be okay to write off on that. But think about what we might see by the time round three and round four, or in this year's case, round five, talking about the play-in round, is around. Like, it may truly produce, because of what you said, the health and not all of that 90-game wear and tear, we might see some of the greatest hockey we've ever seen, ever. And I don't think that's out of the realm. I really don't.
No, I completely agree. I think it's going to be, I'm so looking forward to this. I cannot wait. As far as timelines are concerned, the NHL, for pretty obvious reasons, I would suggest being a little bit vague as to when things might get going, that there's still so much in the air. We are hearing that the NBA is looking at July 31st as a target date to return for their season. So I maybe that gives a bit of a time frame for the NHL, maybe not, but that is a date that's being floated out there by the National Basketball Association. Welcome to Pinder and Steinberg. We are well underway on the program today. Peter Klein, Peter Labardius, and Logan Gordon with you guys for the next 3 hours. We'll get to some of your texts coming up in just a little bit at 960-960. One thing from this week that I want to kind of dive into a little bit further, Gary Bettman with Tim and Sid, and I was chatting with Will about this, in just offline, but Gary Bettman doesn't throw much out there just in a, well, we'll see. There's always a method to the madness with Gary Bettman when it comes to chatting in public. And earlier this week, after the big unveiling, he went on Tim and Sid and mentioned that the Winter Classic could be the start of next season, and that with ice technology being the way it is, this is an opportunity to reassess the entire hockey calendar for the National Hockey League, not just in pandemic times, but in forever times. And if you're starting the season in January, that is completely changing what we view as a normal way of going about an NHL season. For a long time, we've been used to basically September until June, and then the first part of July, and then we get a bunch of pictures of cabins. Are you guys, I don't want to say in favor, because we don't have anything in front, but would you be open to a change in the National Hockey League schedule that is permanent, not just for the next couple of seasons? Logo?
It's an interesting question, and you're right that Gary Bettman doesn't say anything by accident, or, you know, I'm sure if he was putting it out there in that manner, he was probably doing it to probably gauge interest in it one way or the other, to kind of get a general feel of how people felt about it. It's hard to say without a definitive idea of what a new season structure might look like. But that being said, the NHL has, in my mind, always had a problem of getting in its own way as far as international play and stepping on one of its biggest opportunities, whether that be the Olympics or the World Cup of Hockey. They just always seem to put their schedule and the way that they do things in the way of other opportunities, especially at the international level, and it's something that the players have, you know, wanted for years. So I wouldn't necessarily be against something where, you know, maybe you start later on, you know, December, January type of thing, where maybe you can get a World Cup in and a training camp in before that or something, you know, or make it work where you can get an Olympic schedule somewhere in there. I think that we obviously sometimes tend to think that change is always such a bad thing or a scary thing, but I'd be open to seeing something different because I think there are so many different opportunities that hockey gets, whether that be, you know, World Juniors or anything else like that, that, you know, we want so much of it, but sometimes the way the schedule works, I find, is a bit of a barrier to itself.
The way I look at it, guys, is this. It's going to be a while before we have an opportunity to set the schedule to where we want it to be. Because there's no doubt in my mind that 2021 is going to start much later than normal. I am not in favor of hockey starting on a regular basis in December or January. In fact, if I had my way, I'd look for the season under normal circumstances to go backwards, not forwards. I actually really loved it back in the day, understanding that that's never going to happen necessarily again. I liked it when the Stanley Cup final came to an end at the end of May rather than the middle of June. So I'm also fully aware that it might take a couple full years in terms of calendar years for us to be able to truly determine where we want it to be. But no, I'm far more in favor of, you know, having it more what the norm has been than monkeying around and starting on a regular basis much later in the year. I just, gents, you tell me what you think. It's going to work, I think, this time around. It's really hard unless your team is involved, I truly believe, to interest a lot of people in hockey in the middle of the summer. And listen, I'd watch hockey and do 365 without a doubt. So you're not trying to sell me.
Right. Yeah, we got you already.
But you got me. I'll sign up for a sporting event each and every day that I can attend 365. So I'm not the guy you're trying to sell. But you have to be realistic about, you know, what we've seen over the years in terms of, you know, people have other things to do. And guess what? People have also, that's the other fascinating thing for me, when this does come back after people have gotten a lot more used to being without sports, what's it going to be like? You want to talk about a fascinating time in terms of the sports world. It will never be more fascinating than the next couple of years.
Yeah, no, I agree. And just in terms of, like you said, viewer habits and how many people come back and things of that nature. And that kind of segues nicely into the last subject here for the first segment. One of the arguments that people come up with when saying that it's more the NBA than the NHL, but that maybe it is beneficial to go more into July when the only competition you have is Major League Baseball and they can't get out of their own way right now. The counter to that is, I mean, no one's watching anything because it's the summer and people are off on vacation. But Lou, Major League Baseball not doing themselves any favors this week, as that story continues to get, from a baseball fan perspective, a lot worse before it gets any better.
Well, it's complicated. It absolutely is complicated. It's huge business. I can understand in part about what the players are upset about, I can also understand it from the other side of the equation. But what both sides need to be reminded is, what is it all about? Sorry, I don't have a lot of gray area right now for billionaires and millionaires fighting. I don't. Sorry. There are people on our streets that don't know if they can pay their rent. And I know that's a very simplistic way, and I don't take away anything from people who are successful, who have done well, and have made a lot of money. I'm not asking for them not to want what they deserve and where they've been. But I do think it's time to collaborate, and I do think it is a point in time to really understand that your world, like everybody else's, has changed. And I will say this to you on this day in May in the year 2020. If Major League Baseball opts and really messes this up, they have lost a fan in me for a long time. And I'm not an easy guy to lose.
No. No, and I don't think you'd be alone in that either. Like I said yesterday, the strike back in 94, I mean, it ended up killing a team. And it also did near irreparable damage. I would suggest irreparable damage to a fan base. And Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa aren't walking through that door. That was a saving grace for Major League Base, a steroid feud saving grace, but and this is a conversation for another time. I don't care about that. It was still fun. But it's going to take a lot to get people back, Logo. If the other leagues come back and Major League Baseball for 1 year can't come to an agreement with the Players Association about what the finances look like. That's if you want to say it's not safe to come back, I don't got much of a leg to stand on in that conversation. But if you want to argue over money, that doesn't look great.
No, and I mean, to be honest, and really, it's not maybe a fair thing to say from a sports broadcast perspective, I'm sick of it. I'm already sick of it. I'm tired of the both sides, you know, sending low ball offers that they know the other side's not going to take. It's petty. You guys are, you know, nothing without each other. So why fight it? You know, I thought for the longest time, especially with how fast the Korean Baseball League was able to come back, I thought for the longest time baseball would be the first major North American sport that we would see back. I think as far as social distancing, that sort of stuff goes, I think there's ways you can work around it, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, for them to just keep going on and on like this, I'm very much with Peter. I don't have much time to sit here and listen to you guys squabble over millions of dollars. You guys, both sides in my mind, you need a reality check. The fact of the matter is, like I said, you can't do it without each other. And in a sport that I think is in a lot of trouble connecting with the younger generation and keeping up with the times, sitting here and arguing over it over social media and being petty about it doesn't help anybody and doesn't help you guys in the long run. So, you know, it's just a case for me of getting over yourselves. Someone needs to find the middle ground and be mature in the situation, I would say, and move on with it, because it's already more than enough. I mean, as hockey people, I would say all three of us have been through enough of the petty arguing between unions and owners of lockouts in the NHL. And for me to sit here and say that the NHL and the NHLPA have done a marvelous job working together to be a united front, which is exactly what you need in a global pandemic, baseball's done the opposite, and I'm sick of it.
Well, they're in a different position. Let's understand, too. Baseball is just starting a brand new season. So you have to understand that they're playing a little different than the NBA and the NHL. Let's also remember that money does matter in business, and going through the negotiation process for all of us in any business and any contract is really important. And people are always going to try to get the best. What I don't have any patience for is get in a bloody room and get it figured out and think about the people that really, at the end of the day, you're playing for. Because without them, who are you? Who are you? And just a little reminder, just a little reminder of why you started to play in the first place and what it's all about. And if they do go away and people just make their way back to the ballpark and make them all happy again, well, then that's not on them. That's on you. That's on you, the fan. So if you're going to be okay with it, that at a certain point, that's on you.
Good spot to leave that off on. Really good start to the show today. So great work there, guys. That was a fun conversation to be a part of. Even the baseball part, not the most fun conversation to be having.